we need your Bible, if you would, to Mark. Mark, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to read verses 46 through 52. If you would, please stand and honor the reading of the Word of God. Mark chapter 10, verses 10. Starting at verse 46, it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried more, a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately," look at someone and say, "immediately." "And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." If you would bow your heads, let's go to the prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord Jesus, open our eyes. God, give us spiritual vision that we might understand what you would want to do in us and through us in this hour in which we live, Lord. Lord, give us a hunger and a thirst for you like we've never had. Lord, increase our faith. Help our unbelief. Have mercy on us, Lord. We need you. Lord, renew in us a right spirit this morning. Have your will in your way, Jesus. In Jesus' name, would the church say amen?
Amen.
And I want to talk to you this morning about when you're desperate for Jesus. Because I think a lot of times, especially in our Pentecostal churches, we like to talk about how desperate we are for Jesus and how much we want to see God move. But how many of y'all know that if you're really desperate for Jesus, it affects how you live and it affects what you do? And I want to talk to you this morning about being desperate for Jesus. Because if we want to see God move, if we want revival, we're getting ready to have revival. If we want to have more than just a series of meetings that we call revival, then we're going to have to be desperate for Jesus. Not I want God to do something. Not I hope God does something. But I am desperate for God to do something. And I am not going to stop until I receive it from God. That is the kind of faith. And that is the kind of desire that will cause Jesus to stand still this morning. See, the Lord is wanting to do something in His church in this hour in which we live. But there's not a lot of people that are really desperate enough for the Lord. They're not really desperate. They talk about what they want God to do, but they're not desperate enough for it to affect how they live. See, when you get desperate for God, you don't mind pushing aside the plate. When you get desperate for God, you don't mind spending time in His presence. Come on, preacher. Yeah, that's all right. You ain't got to amen me. I amen myself. Amen. But when you're desperate for God, it will affect how you live and how you seek Him. And I want you to understand that this blind Bartimaeus was a desperate man. He was a desperate man. I want you to imagine for a moment if all of a sudden you went blind in your body, that you went physically blind. I want you to think about the daily struggles that you would encounter, the task that used to be simple that all of a sudden would not be even possible. And then I want you to understand this morning that as difficult as that would be for us in this hour in which we live, it was much more difficult in the day in which blind Bartimaeus lived. It was much more difficult. In his day, blindness meant poverty. It meant want. It meant that you would be destitute. It meant that you were going to have a life where you were going to be a beggar. That you would be dependent upon somebody else. Somebody else's charity just to survive. Think about that for a minute. The life of a blind man in blind Bartimaeus' day was difficult. It was a miserable life. And I'm sure as a child, blind Bartimaeus had dreams. He had hopes, just as we all do. Nobody as a child says, you know what, when I grow up, I want to be a beggar. I don't think anybody does that, do they? I don't think a child says, you know what, I aspire to be a beggar when I grow up. No, he was a beggar by default. He became something that he didn't choose to be. He became a victim of his circumstances and his condition. His whole life was defined by his infirmity. I want you to understand that. His whole life was defined by his infirmity. And so much so that when the scripture talks about Bartimaeus, it doesn't just say Bartimaeus. It says blind Bartimaeus. He was defined by his infirmity. Every time somebody spoke to him or about him, he was reminded of his condition, of his infirmity, of what he could not do. He could not see. And it defined his whole life. It controlled everything about his life. Every time somebody spoke his name, he was reminded that he was less than whole, that he was a beggar. I want you to think about that for a minute. He could have been somebody. I'm sure he thought, I could be somebody if it just wasn't for this blindness. Have you ever been there in your life? I could if it just wasn't for this situation. If it just wasn't for what I'm battling with right now, so much more could happen in my life. And I'm sure he felt hopeless and helpless. Just like so many do today. The pressures of life, the pressures of the circumstances, they were great. And so here this man said, a beggar, destitute, hopeless, with nothing. And Jesus passed by. And all of a sudden he began to cry out. And I want to make this point to you as I begin this morning. If you really want to receive from the Lord, if you really want to get his attention, then you're going to have to cry out. Amen. Do you hear me, church? You're going to have to cry out. Blind Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus. And I want you to understand, as long as you accept your circumstances, as long as you accept things in your life for what they are right now, what the enemy's placed on you, what you're going through, things will stay just like they are. Yeah. They'll never change. Because you're not going to ever cry out for God to change something that you've accepted. It won't happen. So if you want God to move, you have to have the faith to believe, first of all, that He can. That He is able to do the impossible in your life. See, a lot of people say they want God to move, but they really don't have the faith to believe. Yeah. See, you got a choice to make. We all have a choice to make. To accept where we are or to cry out against it. If you're going through something, you got a choice to make. And a lot of people have made their choice. They've accepted it. They said, this is just how it's going to be. It is what it is. This is how it is. This is my new reality. I've just got to deal with it. That's what the children of Israel said in the Valley of Dry Bones when God took Ezekiel to the Valley of Dry Bones and he set him in the midst in the vision of the dry bones. You know what the dry bones said? They represented Israel and they said, our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. You know what they were saying? Don't get my hopes up. It is what it is. And it's always going to be this way. And if we want to see God move in this hour, we got to have the faith to believe that, no, I I will not accept what it is right now. Amen. I'm going to trust in the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to claim His promises. And I'm going to believe. Amen. But you got to have the faith to believe. Yeah. People say they believe.
Yeah.
We talk about our faith. But how desperate are we for a move of God? How desperate are we? How much faith do we have? I'm not talking about I wish that God would do something. I would like for God to intervene. No, I'm talking about having the faith to believe that God is going to do it. And I'm going to cry out to Him in faith, expecting Him to move.
Amen.
See, Blind Bartimaeus was sitting in his predicament. He had to make a decision. Am I going to settle for what I have right now, or am I going to cry out to Jesus for Him to move in my situation? And I come to ask you this morning, church, do you have the faith to cry out to God and believe that He not only can, but He will? Because if you don't, you won't cry out. You're not going to cry out for God to do something that you don't believe that He can do. And herein is the problem in the church in our day. Because we rely so much on what other people think and say. Yeah. We rely on what the doctor has to say. Yeah. We rely on what everybody else has to say. But we forget about the God that we serve.
Right.
That He is unlimited in His power and His authority. He can speak and things begin to happen. He is not limited.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what people think. My God is able to do abundantly above all that I can even ask or think. God can blow our minds when we have the faith to cry out to Him and believe that not only He can, but He will.
Amen.
But we got to have the faith to believe it.
Sure.
We live in an hour where everybody believes the report of doctors. They believe the report of others. They believe the report of a lot of people. But when it comes to God, do they really believe the report of the Lord? That's the question.
Yeah.
Whose report are you going to believe? Because the Scripture says that I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The Scripture says that when Jesus was on the cross, He bore those stripes for our healing. That God is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals us.
Yeah.
We serve a God that can, and not only can, but will. But do we have the faith to believe it?
Right. Amen.
Blind Bartimaeus would have never, ever cried out if he didn't have the faith to believe God would do it. He would have never done it. And a lot of people are sitting down on their hands, and they're not crying out to God. You know why? Because they don't believe He'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we don't have the faith to believe, our condition will stay just as it is. And as long as we're unwilling to cry out, and as long as we are battling with unbelief, we will stay right where we are. You say, preacher, that's tough talk. Well, all I can tell you is what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Now, people don't like to talk about that today, but my God is able to do anything.
Amen. Right.
The Lord Jesus, when He was here, He rose the dead, right? People rose from the dead when Jesus was here. Did I read that right?
Amen. Amen.
Was Jesus the only one that did that?
Amen.
Because I believe that not only was Jesus able to do that, but those that come after Him that received His power was able to walk in that.
Amen.
Did I read that right?
Right.
Did I read it right that when the disciples, when John and Peter, when they walked by people, they didn't even have to touch them?
Amen.
That their shadow healed them?
Amen.
Did I read that right? I didn't miss that, did I? That's in there, isn't it?
Right. Amen.
That's in there.
Yeah.
So that tells me that my God's able.
Amen.
There's no limit to what God can do if we have the faith to cry out to Him and believe that He will. So when we talk about revival, we're talking about preparing ourselves to be ready for whatever God would do. Having the faith to believe that God can do anything. And I want you to notice something, because when blind Bartimaeus was sitting there, Jesus didn't come up to blind Bartimaeus. He didn't walk up to blind Bartimaeus. The scripture says he walked by him. Jesus walked past him. And the question becomes, what are we going to do? Are we going to cry out to the Lord? Or are we going to sit there and say, well, if the Lord wants to do this thing, he'll do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sit here.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to wait.
Yeah.
I'll wait for God to do it. I'll wait for the Lord to do it. And Jesus is walking by. See, blind Bartimaeus could have sat there and said, you know what? If Jesus wants to touch me, he'll touch me. If I'm going to get my healing, Jesus is here. He'll come to me and he'll heal me. Because Jesus did that sometimes, didn't he?
Yeah.
But blind Bartimaeus wanted it badly. He was desperate for a touch from the Lord. And he said, I'm not going to sit here and say, okay, well, if the Lord wants to do it, he'll do it. No, he said, I'm going to cry out to him. I'm going to seek him with all that I have. If you want to receive from the Lord, you've got to have the faith to believe this is your opportunity.
Amen. That's right.
That the Lord's here and he can and he will. And have the faith to reach out. See, a lot of people come into God's house and they sit here and they say, well, I'm here.
Yeah.
Hit me with it, Lord. Here I am. You want to do something, do it. When God is saying to you, do you have the faith to cry out to me? Do you have the faith to cry out to me? And believe that not only I can, but I will.
Amen.
See, there's not a lot of desperate people in the house of God today. You say, why don't we see God move like we used to? There's not a lot of desperate people in the house today.
That's right.
There's a lot of people who say they're desperate, but their actions don't show it.
Yeah, right.
When we get desperate for God, that's when God begins to move. When we get to the place where we say, God, I don't just want you to do something. I'm not going to make it if you don't do something. I can't sleep until I feel your presence. I can't just go on through the motions.
Amen.
I need you more than food. I need you more than breath. I need you more than anything. You are my everything and I can't make it without you.
Right. Amen.
When we get that kind of dependency upon the Lord, Jesus stops. And he can get his attention. He focuses his attention on us. I want you to understand this morning that anytime we cry out to the Lord in faith, there's going to be obstacles.
Amen.
Blind Bartimaeus had obstacles. You know what happened when he began to cry out? The scripture says right here, what when he began to cry out, what happened? You know what happened? They said, shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Ain't no sense in all that. Hush. And I'm sure the devil whispered in his ear and said, you're making a fool out of yourself. Nobody cares about you. Nobody wants to hear what you got to say. Shut up. You're making a fool out of yourself. Nothing's going to happen. You're wasting your time. They're just going to laugh at you. Ain't nothing going to happen. You're just going to look like a fool and you're going to be blind. You're going to be a beggar your whole life. Don't make a fool out of yourself. Just shut up.
Yeah,
anytime you want to step out and see God move in your life, there's going to be obstacles.
That's right.
And you're going to hear people say, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about all that. Well, is it in the Word?
Preach, come on.
It don't matter what we think.
Right.
What does the Word say?
Yes.
See, if we have the faith to connect with God on His Word, and really believe it. I'm not talking about saying we believe it. I'm talking about really believe it.
Yeah.
That's when something begins to happen. Mm-hmm. Not when we say we believe it. Because a lot of us are like the man who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Mm-hmm. We got to have the faith to believe God for the impossible. We serve a God that deals in the impossible.
Amen.
Can I explain it to you? We serve a God who speaks and things happen.
Right.
He's not bound by the laws of physics. He created everything.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
He spoke it and it happened. I wonder what it would have been like if we took our church and set it in the day that Jesus lived. And Jesus got ready to heal somebody. wonder what people would be thinking. A blind man getting to see, ain't never saw his whole life. What? Nah, that's not possible. Doctor says that can't never happen.
Yeah.
You mean somebody that's never walked? Their legs have never stood upright and held their body up? You telling me that all of a sudden that the Lord can touch them and they're going to stand up and their legs are going to have the strength to carry them?
Right.
No. The doctor says that ain't possible. You mean somebody who's dead, who's been dead for 3 days? That the Lord can speak and they come back up, raise somebody from the dead? You want people to think you're crazy. Just start talking about the Lord raising people from the dead.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen, preacher.
That's right. That's right.
That is in the Word, right?
Amen.
That is the one we serve, right?
Right. Amen.
See, the issue is not what God has the ability to do. It's not in God's ability.
That's right.
It's not in God. It's not about God's will. It's about our faith.
Right. Amen.
We really don't have the faith to believe that God can raise somebody up from the dead. Mm-hmm. Most of us.
That's right.
We may say the church a thing. I believe that. But if you saw somebody praying for somebody who was dead, I wonder what you'd say in your mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're crazy. They're crazy. See, if we want to see God move, we're going to have crazy faith.
Yeah. Amen.
We're going to have the faith that when the world looks at you, they say, you have lost your mind. You are crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what the Scripture says?
Yeah.
The Scripture says that the world cannot receive the things of God because they're foolishness
Amen.
To them.
Right.
They can't receive the spiritual things of God because it's foolishness to them. They look at it and they say, that's not possible.
Yeah.
And the problem is when we begin to operate in the world's mentality, we need God to touch our eyes.
Amen.
So that we can see Him for who He is. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can even ask or think.
That's right. Amen.
In other words, God said, I can blow your mind. If you have the faith to believe me, I can blow your mind. The things that you think are difficult, that would never happen. God said, I, not only can I do that, but I can do more than that. That's the kind of God that we serve
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
And a lot of times we limit God with our faith. Or with our lack of faith, should I say.
There you go.
And I want you to notice for a minute this man's cry. I want you to notice his cry. He cries out to Jesus. And he says, Jesus, thou son of David. You know what he was saying? He was saying, when he said son of David, he was saying something. He was saying, you're the Messiah. I know who you are. And notice what he cried. He didn't cry for justice. He didn't say, God, my life is not fair. He didn't say, I deserve better than this, Lord. He didn't say, why did you do this to me? Look at them. Why am I going through this? This ain't fair. You know what he said? He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I want you to think about what he's saying here. And I want you to understand something. Because if we're going to come to God, we got to come to God with the right mentality. God don't owe you anything. You need to understand that. God does not owe you a thing. If you got what you deserved, you'd be burning in hell right now. You hear me, church? And we can't come to God with this mentality of, you're not fair. I don't deserve this. Why did you do this to me, God? We got to come to God with, oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I don't deserve what you've done already, Lord. I don't deserve it. I deserve hell, but thank God for your mercy
Amen.
And your grace.
Amen.
I want you to compare that with what the rich young ruler said to Jesus. Because if you have a chance, go to Matthew chapter 19 and read verse 16, and I'll read you what it says there in the discourse. But he says, "Good master, what good things shall I do that I might have eternal life?" I want you to notice the difference between blind Bartimaeus and the rich young ruler. Because blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus and he said, "I know you're the Messiah. You're the man. Have mercy on me, because I don't deserve your goodness." And the rich young ruler said, "Good master, what do I need to do? Because I can do it. You just tell me what to do. I got it." You see the difference? And a lot of people come to God and they say, "Just tell me what to do. I can do this. Just give me some instruction. I'll handle this. You just tell me what to do. I'll do it." When God is saying, "If you want me to move, you need to fall on me." And you need to say, "I need you, Jesus. I need your mercy. I can't do it without you. It's only by your grace that I'm even alive. Every good and perfect thing comes down from you. I can't do it without you, Lord. I need you." You see the difference? The difference in our mentalities. It affects what we receive and don't receive from the Lord. And we need to understand the difference when we're talking about seeking the Lord. I want you to understand something else. I want you to understand that the Lord hears our cry. He hears your cry. And He hears my cry. I don't care how many times you cry. If you notice here, blind Bartimaeus didn't just cry one time and the Lord stopped, did He? You notice that? The Scripture said he cried. They told him to shut up. But he cried louder. And then he got the Lord's attention. So if you say the Lord ain't hearing me, maybe you need to cry out a little bit louder. Because the Lord hears you. Even when you don't think He hears you. He hears you. He heard blind Bartimaeus before he ever cried. Hear me, church. The Lord hears your cry. The devil likes to whisper in your ear and say, "You've been praying for that for years. You've been going through this for years. It's not going to happen." But 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, you know what it says? It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything," that word "anything," what does it mean, church? Is there a limit on that when we say anything? No limit, right? So if the Scripture doesn't put a limit on it, why are you putting a limit on it?
There you go.
The Scripture's not limiting it, so why are you? He said, "Preacher, don't get their hopes up. That ain't going to happen." That's why it's not happening, because you don't have the faith to believe it. You hear me, church? That's why we're not seeing God move, because we don't have the faith to believe that He'll move.
Amen.
It's quiet in this church. Talking about preparing for revival. You want to see God move, you got to have faith to believe for God to move.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're just going to have a series of meetings. You have some goose pimples. Feel good for a day and go home to the same thing you're already in.
Amen. Right.
You hear me, church?
Right.
Got to have the faith to believe for God to move. Not just talk about it. Believe it. Operate in the faith that moves mountains. That's when you see God move. Psalm 34 and 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry." The Lord's listening. And I don't think I finished 1 John 5 and 14, so I'm going to finish. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that we, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Now, that means that if I pray and I have the faith to believe God's going to give me a Mercedes and $2 million, that it ain't going to happen. But if I look in His Word, and there's a promise in His Word of who He is and what He'll do for His children, and I can connect with that promise in faith, that I believe that it'll happen. Because it's according to His will. But you got to have faith to believe it. I'm not talking about naming and claiming. I'm talking about standing on the promises of God's Word. You can't just believe any old thing and God just do it. You got to believe what God has spoken.
Amen.
And stand on it and have the faith to trust it. I want you to notice something. When he cried out, Jesus stood still. And he said, "Bring him to me." When we get the Lord's attention, we got to be willing to leave where we are to go to where He is. Because see, a lot of us want the Lord to meet us right where we are. Yeah. What do you mean, preacher? He could have stayed right where He was. When Jesus come walking on the water and the disciples were in the boat, Peter said, "If that's you, Lord, beckon me to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come on." He beckoned him to step out in faith on the water. A lot of us want to stay in the boat. We want Jesus to hop in the boat with us and just help us out. Blind Bartimaeus, the scripture said, when he came to Jesus, he didn't just get up with everything. The scripture said he cast off his cloak, I think they said it was, or his garment. In other words, in that day, the beggars had a coat or a cloak that they wore. And what they would do is they'd spread it out in front of them. And that's where they threw their change and their money. And the scripture said when he got up, guess what he left there?
All that stuff.
All that stuff. You know why he left it all there? Because he said, "I ain't going to need it no more." Because if he didn't have the faith to believe God, you better believe he'd be scooping all that up, wrapping it up. I ain't leaving it for nobody else to get it because I'm going to need that.
Good.
Scripture said he left it. A lot of us come to the Lord and we don't have the faith really to believe that he will do what we want or need him to do. And so we come to the Lord, and when he asks us, "What do you want?" A lot of us say, "Well, why would he ask this man that?" Because a lot of people come to the Lord and they're not asking the right question. They're not asking for him to do the right thing.
Right.
In other words, we have a need. This man had a need. He needed to be healed of his blindness. He could have come to the Lord and said, "Lord, just give me the strength to be able to make it through this situation. Lord, provide me enough money today to go home and be able to feed my family." Mm-hmm. He could have said that.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of us spiritually come to the Lord like that. Because we don't have the faith to believe God for the impossible.
Right.
So we think we're going to help God out, and we're going to do something we think is more doable. "God, this is more doable, so let me ask you, just help me get through the day. Lord, I know I got this situation. I really need a miracle, but if you could just get me through this stuff, if you could just give me enough coins to make it and eat today."
That's good.
Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You've got to have the faith to believe God for more.
Right.
You've got to have the faith to believe God for the impossible. Amen. And a lot of people don't believe.
Right.
And so they come to God and say, "Drop a couple of coins in, Lord." When God is saying, "I want to deal with your issue.
Yeah.
I don't want to help you just make it. I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
I come to do the impossible
Amen.
In your life.
Right.
I come that my glory might be revealed in you and through you." And when people look at you, they say,
"Amen.
I don't understand what God did with them, but I know God did something because they were blind, but now they see."
Amen.
And all the skeptics that come up and they say, "Oh, I don't know about this Jesus thing." You can be like the blind man who said, "I don't know about all your little debates," I'm paraphrasing, "but I do know one thing. When I come to Jesus, I couldn't see. But guess what? Now I can see."
Amen.
"And that's what I know."
Amen.
So you can debate all you want to, but I believe because I have
Amen.
Experienced what God
Amen.
Can do.
Amen.
And a lot of us never experience the fullness of what God can do in our lives because we don't have the faith to even ask God for it.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't have the faith to even ask.
That's right.
And Jesus asked this man, he said, "What are you seeking?" And I want to ask you, church, this morning, what are you seeking? How much faith do you have? He could have asked for other things. Believe God to open eyes? That's impossible. That's crazy talk. Believe for God to rise somebody up from the dead? That's crazy. That's impossible. Doctor says that can't happen. Somebody get up who hadn't never walked a day in their life? Their legs look like bird chicken legs. They gonna get up and walk? And not only walk, but get their bed and carry it?
Yeah.
Nah, doctor says that can't happen. Don't get my hopes up, preacher. That can't happen. And that's why you are where you are. Because you don't have faith. Quiet in this house. You know, when I came here, God impressed on something. Pressed something strongly on my heart. And I shared it with you multiple times. And I've shared that scripture with you multiple times this morning. My God is able to do abundantly above all that you can even ask or think. You know why God laid that scripture on my heart? Because some of us in this house, the devil has beat you down with sickness and infirmity for so long that you've settled for it. That you said it's not going to change. And I'm not even going to ask for God to change it no more. Preacher, don't even get my hopes up with that crazy talk. Just help me to get through this day. We say we want to see a miraculous move of God in his house. But when preacher gets up and starts talking about what God can do, people get plumb mad.
Yeah.
Don't get their hopes up. Hear me, church? If you want to see God do the impossible, you got to believe God for the impossible. And until you have the spiritual vision to believe God for the impossible, you will not see the impossible.
Amen.
As long as we sit down and we say, have your way, Lord. Just do it. Do whatever you want to do. And, you know, if by osmosis you want to hit me with something, I'm open to it. You hear me? Because that is the attitude of a lot of people in God's house today.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
I'm here. If you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, okay.
Yeah.
But see, that's not blind Bartimaeus. That was not blind Bartimaeus' attitude. He was desperate for Jesus. And I want to ask you this morning, are you desperate enough for Jesus to cry out in faith? Are you desperate enough? See, Jesus come to open our eyes. You say, preacher, I can see just fine. Well, some of us need some spiritual vision because we're blind. You don't see what God wants to do in you and through you in this hour. And you don't see the God that you serve. You've listened to the lies of the devil for so long that you see a God that you have in your mind, a God that's limited, a form of religion. But I serve a God who does the impossible. And if you can connect in faith with his word, all things are possible. All. That word all. Is that word all limited? Why are we limited? All things are possible. That's scripture. To him that believes. All. All. That's not limited. All. But it requires the faith to believe that I serve a God who can do abundantly above all that I could even ask or think. You say, what? Why are you preaching this? I'm preaching this because I believe that God wants to do something miraculous in this house. And when I prayed for this message, God said, you lay the groundwork for this revival. Because I'm wanting to do some miracles here. God's wanting to do the miraculous in this house. But you've got to have the faith to believe him for it. Church, do you have the faith to believe him for a miracle? I can't believe for you. You've got to believe for yourself. Do you have the faith to believe? All things are possible to him that believeth.